Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we are, Friday, September 18th. Time for Managing Your Money with Mark. We do it every Friday. Mark Rosa, of course, the CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Hey, Mark, it's good to be back with you.
Tommy, good morning. It's good to hear you.
Well, nice catching up. Tell me about the Fed and what's going on with interest rates, et cetera, and how, what is it that they were trying to say, and did they get their message across?
I think they got their message across, first of all, because the markets reacted a bit negatively towards it. But as we know, Tommy, about a month or so ago, Congress was wrangling with the idea of putting out a second stimulus package, and that was supposed to be at the beginning of August. And as we also know, that hasn't really happened yet. So that kind of was stalling the markets a bit. Markets were prepared for that to come out to help, especially the people unemployment benefits had run out and so on. And then it's like, well, what's the Fed going to do? Are they going to change any of their policies to compensate? And the Fed came out to reiterate that, well, we promised to keep the rates low like they did after the credit crisis. And they mentioned a date of 2023. I think it's going to be kept low long, long after that, because I think that the economy is going to have more time to heal. But it was like, we're going to keep them that low. And then the mixed message that people are interpreting, mostly market participants are interpreting, is we love the low rates. But the fact you said that you're going to keep it low for years means that the economy might not be mending itself as long as some others would like. So they never satisfied. So then, you know, we've had some sell-offs and some trading around, some volatility, not just trading up like we were getting used to. But, Tommy, still, the markets are in decent shape, but right on the cusp of 28,000 in the case of the Dow. The futures, if the market opened right now, would open down 43 points. I mean, something, nothing consequential. So I think the markets remain in good shape, and they remain that way because the Fed did so much earlier this year. And now you fast forward, and we've got an election coming up in less than 50 days, and possibly who's going to win. They got very different outlooks on how they would manage the economy. So that is coming into the equation as it's so close.
You know, I've been kind of busy screaming in pain with my knee. Just kidding. But it has, you get a new knee. There can be some issues that will attract your attention. But I kind of lost track of this. Yeah. It's a micro. You know, it all starts within and then it kind of goes out from there. Because quite frankly, when I was having one of those bad nights with the pain, I'd give a rat's rear less what the Fed was doing. You know what I'm saying, Mark? It all depends on what's going on at the time.
I could understand that. That's right.
Yeah. That being said, why would they feel the need to come out with that now? That's what I don't understand. Why would they have to forecast ahead to 2023, which, seemingly that's a long time from now. Who knows what could happen?
That's right, and exactly. And if you went back to the Alan Greenspan Fed, or what the Fed used to do, is not be so transparent. They would have their meetings, and believe it or not, the transcript was held secret for 5 years. So by the time it was released to the public, the information was so old it was worthless. But that's how they operated. That was some years ago. So there was a lot of complaining back then, especially we would go through credit crises and recessions and so on. It's like, why can't you all – speak a little bit louder and be more transparent, be clear to the public and to the financial markets, and that might calm things down. Well, that's you fast forward to today, and that's what's happening, that they would be far more conversational than they used to be. And now, I mean, they're putting out those forecasts for years in the future. So in the past, I mean, this is uncharted territory with respect to how they're doing things and the new tools that they have to influence the economy are really we've never seen such a thing since the credit crisis. They got more tools after the credit crisis, and that's what they've been using to stimulate the economy since the COVID outbreak. But part of that is the conversation that they're having, and they, you know, that's easy. We're going to keep rates at zero basically for the next few years. And that's great for financial markets, Tommy. But it's the saver always pays for that. If you just have money in the passbook type of accounts, I know we've said it on the show before, but it's like you know, they don't keep pace with inflation. You lose money every day that they're in there. Your principal is safe. You know, you could see it. You could pull up your account and see it. But that money is deteriorating with respect to its value. So it kind of begs somebody to, you got to leave that safety area. And I know that's intimidating for people, but it's like really being made to put money at risk. And the returns are there. That's the reward. The returns are, you know, last year the Dow was up 31%. Well, that's a lot better than the 0.3 that you're getting in a savings account if you're getting even that much. But it's an intimidating process for people.
Take a quick break. Somebody texted in a question about international stocks, how the pandemic has affected international stocks compared to U.S. stocks. We'll find out when we come back. Right now, though, we stop for traffic here on WWL. 7:56 now on this Friday morning, September 18th. Don't forget, in the second half of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll check in with JR from Wager Pro for Tommy's weekend winners and take a look at the football action available this weekend. But if you believe in a non-traditional investment approach, Mark Rose is here right now, CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, to help you manage your money. So, Mark, when it comes to the effects of COVID, the pandemic, how has it affected international stocks compared to U.S. stocks? For example, shares of Ferrari is what the texter asks.
Absolutely. Ferrari has done. I was speaking with somebody about that yesterday. And when they went public a couple of years ago, kind of the car community was thinking, well, that's not going to do very well. And it proved everybody wrong. They've done very well. And they've produced, again, the sports car that we know by that name. And they sell pretty much all the cars that they make. So that stock has done well. As far as I'll look at it every now and then, I'm not an investor in it. And to be candid with everybody, I don't invest outside of U.S. borders. There are two particular risks outside of all the other risks that you take by investing. You get two additional risks that come in when you go outside of the U.S. You've got currency risk. You've got to change the currency many times, depending on what you're investing in. So you're exposed to that. Then you've got the political risk, something that would be happening in the country that you're investing in that might not be to your advantage. So you're kind of keeping up with things that you have less control of, and you might have less information about. It might be that the country isn't very forthcoming with the information. If you invested, for instance, in China stocks, people have made money on it, but they usually are going through a mutual fund whose fund manager has a better idea of what's going on in country than you and I might ever have. So what I'll do is I'll look at what the euro is doing to the dollar, because the euro covers a lot of countries overseas. And, Tommy, they were going through quantitative easing. The European Central Bank was trying to mend their economy long after we came out of the recession. And Spain, one of my favorite countries, since the last recession, I think had seen five recessions between 08, 09 and the pandemic. So the socialistically run economies tend to grow very slowly. And again, for people, I see a lot of that on college campuses. But the people that are starting to embrace the idea of socialism, they really don't know what they're talking about. They're asking for an economy to grow very slowly. So the euro was falling in price against the dollar, meaning the dollar was catching up with them. And now, since the Fed took its action, the euro has gone back up from about $1.07. Now it takes $1.18. So it means that they have a little bit more competitive strength, but it was because of the volume of the currency that we were printing here. So again, that arena gets a little bit complicated. If somebody is wanting to follow the stock, like RACE, race is the ticker symbol for Ferrari, just stick to maybe a very narrow sliver of investment possibilities outside of the U.S.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you Monday.
Yes,
Monday
sir.
Morning Markets with Mark. Have a great weekend. When we come back, we're going to talk about lowering prescription drug prices.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.